Brothers and sisters in Christ, our meditation this morning is from the reading from John chapter 8. Please be seated. There are a number of things about this text that may trouble us. For one thing, the earliest manuscripts of the Gospel of John do not include it. It appears to have been a later insertion into the text. And there are scores of variant readings to the thing. Most modern commentaries on John place the discussion of this text at the end in an appendix. But there's not much doubt, however, that what this text records is an actual event in the life and ministry of our Lord. It certainly sounds like one. But still, there are a number of things that may trouble us about the account itself. This whole scene is rather disturbing, although it starts out peaceful enough. As we heard, in the early morning, Jesus goes to the temple in Jerusalem. People come to him, and he sits down and begins to teach. All of this, then, is interrupted by the religious leaders and the Pharisees dragging in a woman and placing her in the middle of everything, in front of everyone. The woman was caught in the act of adultery, they say. She is guilty. Moses says in the law that the penalty for adultery is death by stoning, Leviticus 20, Deuteronomy 22. What do you say, Jesus? Is their question. Well, the accusers are right about this, that the penalty for adultery is death, although curiously, they bring forward only the woman caught in adultery, not the man. But that doesn't bother them because their purpose is to test Jesus, to spring a trap, to find some way to bring a charge against him. And they keep pestering him for an answer until finally he stands up and says to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone at her." Well, this silences them, and they exit the scene one by one. But the woman remains standing before Jesus. He asks her, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she replies. "And neither do I condemn you," Jesus says. "Go and sin no more." Well, this is all rather messy, isn't it? It's not really the outcome that we would want. Oh, sure, we like the fact that Jesus does not condemn the woman. He is merciful to her, even though she is guilty, it seems. He sends her away to sin no more. But she's still an adulteress, a sinner. She did something really awful. Shameful. And there's no indication in the text that she's repentant. Is she sorry for what she did? She got caught. Is she ashamed, humiliated, broken? The text doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say very much either. We want more here, but we don't have it. The story is all kind of a mess, not the way that we would like to see things go. But isn't this the way it is sometimes with sin and sinners? It doesn't really make sense. And isn't this the way it is sometimes with our merciful Lord? Perhaps he does not say or do what we might like him to. Perhaps he does not live up to our expectations. She would have been a better adulteress if she had only wept a little, shown some remorse, perhaps gotten down on her knees and begged Jesus for mercy. Doesn't she know how this works? Act the part. Maybe we would feel better if she articulated a heartfelt confession of faith, a creedal statement. But she does nothing of the kind. She merely addresses Jesus as Kyrie, Lord. She makes no defense. She has no excuses. She just stands there before him, caught in her sin. Does this sound right? Is this the way that things are supposed to be done? Lutherans would never do it this way. Wouldn't Jesus have been a better Jesus if he had seen her contrition, heard her sorrowful confession of sins, pronounced holy absolution on her, and welcomed her into his kingdom? But he doesn't do that. He tells her to go and not sin anymore. Is that all? Is that how it goes with God's justice? Well, what do we know from this text? The woman was dragged into the temple by her accusers, humiliated, shamed, convicted in her sin. The woman was guilty, and Jesus did not condemn her. He did not turn his back on her. According to the law of God, the woman deserved death, death by stoning at the hands of her accusers. And what do we see? We see that even worse than death by stoning would be condemnation by Jesus. What would be worse than for him now to reject her, for him now to hold her sin against her, for him to cast her sins back at her, to drag her before the world and condemn her? The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the whole world, even God's holy law itself, justly may condemn her because of her sin. But Jesus does not. He's the only one who does not, because he is the only one who would take her sin, her guilt, her penalty, her death upon himself. Jesus came to show mercy, not to cast stones. He came to forgive sin. He came to free us from sin and from death. He was the only innocent one, the only one not deserving death. And yet, he took upon himself our sin and our guilt and our shame for sin unto his own death. Yes, the penalty for sin is death. This is God's judgment for sin. This is God's righteousness, to condemn his own son for our sins. This is God's justice, to turn his back on his own son as he hung dying on the cross, and to forsake him there before the whole world. The kingdom of Christ is a very exclusive place. No saints allowed. Sinners only are admitted. And his kingdom is filled with adulterers. This woman was dragged before Jesus, and she was brought to precisely the right place, to exactly the right person, to the only one without sin, to the only one who could rescue her. Everything that had gone wrong with her, all of her sins, he would take upon himself. For he came not to condemn sinners, but to save a world of them. Amen.